Vayomer Hashem al Avram. Hashem said to Avram, Lech lecha me'aretzecha, mimoladetecha, mibeis avicha. Go for your own sake, from your land, from your birthplace, from the house of your father, El ha'oretz asher areka, to the land that I will show you. And this was the first dibur that was said to Avram Avinu. First talking that Hashem did to Avram. And if it's the first dibur that Hashem said to Avram, and Avram Avinu was the first in Klal Yisrael, so there must be some general limud that reflects on the entire life of Klal Yisrael. Lech Lecha is not just a personal command to Avram Avinu. Lech Lecha is a general message to Klal Yisrael throughout the history. What is that message? So the Sfarim HaKadoshim bring down that Lech Lecha means you always have to be on the move. A person can never settle for what he is right now. A person always has to steig. A person always has to be oile. A person always has to strive for greater accomplishments. Teira, mitzvahs, maisim toivim, chasodim, madregis, and tefila. That was the general message. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram, you have to leave your father's house, your birthplace. You want to become greater? Avram Avinu had already been mekayim, the greatest mitzvah possible. He was Mekadosh Shem Shemayim Barabim. This happened after the Maisa of the Kivshan HaEsh and Ur Kazdim. He was not Mekadosh Shemayim Barabim. So one would think that Avraham Avinu had reached the highest Madrega possible by being Mekadosh Shem Shemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha Me'Moladetcha Me'Beis Avicha. There always has to be a Lech Lecha. No matter what you've already accomplished, you always have to be on the go. Don't remain stagnant. Don't remain in the same place that you are. That is the Metzius of Yid. It is said over about Rav Sadia Goyen, that Rav Sadia Goyen used to do tshuva every day. He used to ask Hashem for kapara, that yesterday he did not serve Hashem the way he recognizes him today. Because every day he took a new step towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every day he was a Ben Aliyah. So on Tuesday he was on a higher migraine than he was on Monday. So on Tuesday he asked for Mechila, why didn't I serve you yesterday the way I know you today? And that came Avur HaMaisa Shehoyah. Once a Meister of Sadia Goyen once visited a certain city, and he stayed over at an inn that was owned by a Yid. This Yid was a poshut Yid, a simple Yid. He didn't know that this was Rav Sadia Goyen. He was Meshamashim, Be'amura, the way he did everybody. He saw Talmud Chacham. He was Meshamashim more, but he gave him covet. But he didn't realize it was Rav Sadia Goyen. After Rav Sadia Goyen left, someone comes to this innkeeper, he says, Oi, you are such a gewaltig eschus. He says, what? He says, you are Meshamash Rav Sadia Goyen. So what are you talking about? He says, sure, you know that tzaddik that was in your inn, that was Rav Sadia Goyen. He says, what are you talking about? Oi, vey, if I would have known it was Rav Sadia Goyen, I would have been Meshamash him even more. So he ran, he caught up wherever Rav Sadia Goyen was, and he begged him for mechila. So why are you asking me for mechila? He says, I wasn't Meshamash you with enough covet. So what are you talking about? You served me very nicely. He says, but if I would have known that you're the great Rav Sadia Goyen, I would have been Meshamash you even more. So Rav Sadia Goyen took this as a lesson for himself. How much he has to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Mechila. Had I known you yesterday, the way I know you today, I would have been Meshamash you on a much higher madrig. That's Lech Lecha. You always have to be on the go. You always have to strive for more. You have to have shivas for greater things than you are right now. A person can never settle for what he is right now. It's a very nice word. It's brought down. Vayomer Shel Torah brings down B'Shem Svarim. How does a person mekayim the Lech Lecha on the move? The Mishnah says in Masechet Avos, Histakel v'shloisha dvarim v'iyat avo lidei aveira. Look at three things and you won't come into the hands of an aveira. Dame yayin bosa, ul'ona toheilech, v'lufnemiya toosid litein din v'cheshvin. Know where you came from? From a tifa shrucha, from nothing. Ul'ona toheilech, you're going to end up, you know, deep below. V'lufnemiya toosid litein din v'cheshvin, v'lufnemelech malachi ha-kadosh baruch hu, melech malachi ha-mokam ha-kadosh baruch hu. That's all Merum is in Lech Lecha. Me'artzecha, how do you start? How do you move? Remember the Oros, you can end up over there. Me'moladetecha, remember where you were born from a tipas rucha. You're going to end up in your father's house, but you're going to have to give a din v'cheshbon. With that, you give me mekayim the lech lecha. There's another machshava here. Again, it's not the simple pshat, but it's a very, very nice machshava. Rav Nachum of Chernobyl, one of the great, great, great Hasidic Sherevas that started the Chernobyl dynasty, was Yodua that he was Isaac the Pinyan Shvuyim. Very much involved with the mitzvah Pinyan Shvuyim. He raised money, he was Maisa Nefesh for the mitzvah Pinyan Shvuyim. And it happened once he was in the city of Zitomir. Apparently there were some people that were jealous of him, and they tattled to the police about him. They made up some story that he did something wrong, and he was put in jail. So he felt terrible. He said, how could it be that I'm the one that's so Isaac and Pidyon Shvuyim of getting people out of jail? So how could it be Min HaShemayim that ended up putting me in jail? He felt very hurt. So there was a rav that heard that Rav Chernobyl was in jail. He came to visit him. Comes to visit him, and Rav Nachum poured out his heart. He says, here I am. I spent so much time getting people out of jail, and I end up being put in jail. I don't understand Hashgacha. So the Rav told him, Amayu Dikim Shat. Hashem told Avram, become a wanderer. How could it be? Avram Avinu was the greatest Machmas Ayruch in his time. He made people feel comfortable. He made people feel at home. So Hashem should tell him to become a wanderer, that he shouldn't have a place to stay. Where's the Ashes? The Teretz, as this Rav said, Hashem knew how much Avram Avinu wanted to perfect the mitzvah of Hachnosas Arachim. So what he did was, he made Avram a wanderer. He should feel what it's like not to have a home, so that when he's in his home, he'll be able to perfect it even more. When you know what the people are missing, you're able to provide them with more. So this Rav told Rav Nachum, it's the same thing with you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows how much you want to be Mekayim, the Mitzvah Pinyan Shvuyim. So he put you in jail. You should feel what it's like, and the male you'll be more of a Zariz, and you'll be more Mahadar in the Mitzvah. Very nice to hear, when I get to this Indian of Lech Lecha. Vayatech Misham Hohara. Avraham Avinu moved from there to the mountain. Mikedem LeBezel, from the east of Bezel. Vayeta Holoi, and that's where he pitched his tent, on the east of Bezel. That would have been good. I mean, that would have been enough. The Torah tells us where he pitched his tent. He moved from the mountain, and on the east of Bezel, he pitched his tent. No, but the Torah finds that not to be enough. Bezel Niyam. Bezel was on the west. V'ho'ai Mikedem, and the Ai was on the east. V'ayim Hashem Mizbeach, v'yikra b'shem Hashem. Why is it so necessary for the Torah to go into detail where Avram pitched his tent? Is that so much negayah? The east of Bezel finished. Why does it have to tell me? Bezel Miyam, v'ho'ai Mikedem. So there's a Mori de Kipshat here from the Chofetz Chaim. Heilige Chofetz Chaim says that, now I'll explain it in today's terms. When you have a franchise, a store that opens up in a certain neighborhood, they do a lot of research beforehand if they're going to make business over there. You have a Walmart opening up somewhere, they do all kinds of market surveys. Who are the people that live there? How much money do they make? What kind of products do they buy? How much are they willing to spend? Because if you don't know clearly the customer that you're catering to, and you don't know if you're going to have customers, the business is not going to take off. Dr. Chofetz Chaim, Avraham Avinu treated his kiruv rechokim, that's not like a little mitzvah. He treated it like a business, and he wanted to maximize the benefits. See, he tried to figure out a place where you have the maximum benefits. He picked two places. Bezel and Ai, those were two of the biggest cities at the time. And he pitched his tent in the middle, that would be a hub between the two cities where people go back and forth. Like today, you have the Chicago airport, middle of the United States. It's the busiest airport around. So Avraham Avinu bedafkid, he treated his kiruv rechokim like a business. Bezel Miyam, V'ho'ai Mikedem, people went back and forth, in the middle he pitched his tent, there he would be, he'd be assured that he'd have a lot of business there in mitzvahs. Brisker Rav says, Amayu Dikipshat, every day we make a bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Kiddushonu, B'mitzvoyseh, B'tzivonu, La'asoy, K'divrei Seyre. simple pshat la'asik b'divrei Torah. We should be busy with divrei Torah. Biskarov says la'asik is from the word asik. Should be a business. You have to treat the Torah like it's a business. When a fellow's in business, he does every shtick possible to make sure that he utilizes the opportunities to the highest madrega. He wants to get the edge on others when he get in business. And when it comes to Torah, it has to be the same thing. You have to treat Torah the way you treat a business. You have to maximize every effort. You have to utilize every opportunity. You have to see what's conducive for your growth in Torah. And if something is not good for your growth, you have to stay away from it. That's lasik with the research. That's the part over here with Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu didn't just treat it like a mere mitzvah. Like a business. He planted his tent of Achnosis Earth where he can be Makara people, Tavis Kanfei Ashkina. He planted it in the best place, Shaya, where he can be Makara of the most people. That's lasik with the research. My Rosh Hashiva, Rav Gifter Zatzal, was once in Mexico collecting money for the Telzi Yeshiva. So it was one big gvir, an old Hungarian Jew, a very, very wealthy man, that he tried to get to. So he calls him in his house, he's not home. He went down to the house, beautiful estate with a big mansion, knocks on the door, the butler answers, he's not home. Tries him again a different time, comes again to the house a different time, he's never home. So finally he asks the butler, where can I find your balabas? He says he's always in the business. He gives him the phone number, calls him up in the business. He says, yes, sure, come down. And they schmoozed and he treated him nicely and he gave him a nice nedava. So the gift he asks him, tell me. He says, you have a beautiful estate. You have a beautiful, beautiful home. He says, what good does it do if you're always here in the business? How come you don't? You know, why aren't you in a head if you were in a house? He tells him this Hungarian Yiddish. I'll tell the Rosh Yeshiva. If you have a business, you gotta live in the business. So Gifter smiled and he said, it was kedai to come to Mexico just to hear this word. When you have an asik, you gotta live in the asik. He says, Ruchnius is also an asik. If you want to be successful in Ruchnius, you can't just take it as a randomly, I'll be able to learn, but I won't be able to, nish, mebroch, ligin in the asik. That's saibinagir Torah, that's saibinagir Tefillah, it's megeya, everything in Ruchnius, you have to ligin in the asik. And that's the message that we learn over here from Avraham Avinu, Beisel miyongo, aini kedem. He was Iske Cheshmet. He figured out where is the best place for this business of Kiruv, which is the most conducive place. When Avraham Avinu started coming close to Mitzrayim, he said to Sarai, his wife, behold, now I know that you're a beautiful woman. Until now he didn't know. All of a sudden he figured out that she's beautiful. So Rashi asks the question. And Rashi gives different shot. Shot number one, yes, they were very much mitznius. And now while they are Maisa Shahoya traveling, she became uncovered. You know, her face got uncovered and he realized she was beautiful. It's shot number one. Shot number two, most people, even if they're good looking but in travel, they get disheveled. But by Sari Imenu, she was so beautiful that even Machmas the travel, she still remained the same. He realized that she's more beautiful than the rest. And shot number three, he named her Yodati. Not just now I know. I'm going to say always knew. But now comes the time where I have to worry about it. We're coming into Mitzrayim. They're very much immoral people there. And now we have to worry about it. The Vilna Gaon says a beautiful shot. Another shot. The Vilna Gaon says that there are two kinds of beauties. There's a natural beauty, natural physical beauty. There's another kind of a beauty where physically could be the person is not that beautiful. But there's a special chen given to her, min ha-shamayim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says about Esther. Gemara Maseches Megillah says, Esther Yirak Rakas Havi. Esther had a very pale, jaundiced complexion. There was a chut shel chesed in Hashemayim that graced her and that gave her beauty. What is the difference between natural beauty and chut shel chesed moshech aleha? If let's say the beauty is detrimental for the person, it's going to get them into trouble. natural beauty doesn't leave a person if they're going to get into trouble. But if it's chut shel chesed, if it's musiak el dishmaya, so then when it's not good for the person to have that beauty, they take the beauty away min hashamayim. So Avraham Avinu always knew that sorrow was beautiful, but he thought maybe it's because it's chut shel chesed moshech oleha. But now that they were coming to Mitzrayim, and the beauty would not be good for her, and still she maintained that beauty, so now he saw it wasn't a beauty because of the chut shel chesed, it was a beauty, natural beauty. That you be'etzem are beautiful, so then we have to worry about it. As I said, the Vilna Gaon. After Avraham Avinu came back from Mitzrayim, shteitin pasuk, vayelech lemasuv, he went on his travels from the south up until Beisel. Once again, he pitched his tent in the very same place, and that same place. Same reason, because he wanted his business of Kiruv Rechayim to flourish. On the Pasuk Vayelech L'Masov, he went on his travels. What does that mean, he went on his travels? So Rashi brings down two pshatim. Chat number one, that the inns, the hotels that he frequented on the way down to Mitzrayim, Vayelech L'Masov, he went back to those same places. And the Torah teaches us Derech Eretz, that if you frequent a place, you patronize a place, and they treat you nicely, is Derech Eretz to go back for more, because that's HaKaras HaTayv. That's chat number one. He went back to those very same places. Chat number two, Vayelech L'Masov, Zot Rashi, on the way back, he paid back all his bills. On the way down, he didn't have any money. So he stayed in one hotel, he took it on credit. Stayed in another hotel again on credit. On the way back, he paid back all of his debts. So the Mefarshim is Kakashi, like, why would the Torah tell me something like that? Pshita. Avraham Avinu, he paid back his chayvis. Any person's mechuyev to pay back his chayvus. So why is the Torah telling me something special over here about Avraham Avinu that on the way back he paid up his chayvus? So there are two Moyridiki Pshatim over here. One is from the Sefer Maskil the Dovid, and one is from the Heilige Satmar Rebbe, the Baal Divrei Yoyel, Sefer Tzadik B'Kodesh L'Bracha. The Maskil the Dovid says that the chiddush over here is not that Avraham Avinu paid back his chayvus. The chiddush is that they let him stay there al chay to begin with. Yitzchak Schwartz is traveling through the Midwest, and he stops over at an inn one night, and he comes to the count. He says, "I'd like to have a room." So, okay, fine, you know, is there a room for states without a TV? And, you know, could they ask him, would that be cash or credit? He said, "I was just getting there. If you don't mind, I don't have cash on me, and I also don't have credit, you know. Can you do me a favor? Can you trust me just for tonight? And when I come on my way back, I'll have money, I'll pay you back." "You're joking, no. Will it be cash or credit?" And I say, "I'm sorry, I don't have cash. I don't have credit. Just can you trust me for tonight? Let me have a room." "Sorry, mister, you know, we don't work that way. You know, you can't just trust you and be on your way." I have Avraham Avinu. Nobody knew him. Who knew him? Avraham Avinu came from a faraway place. He was a wanderer from place to place. So why in the world would they give him, let him stay on credit? The Teretz is that goof is the Chiddush. When they saw Avraham Avinu, they saw his ho-ho-ech yelech, the way he conducted himself, the way he carried himself, was kulei aimer kavid. They saw a dignified person over here. They saw a yashrus ha-adam. He said, "This is the kind of a person that we can trust, even though we don't know him. But just looking at him and seeing the way he spoke, the way he conducted himself, that is why they let him stay here on credit." But the chiddush is not in the paying, the chiddush is in the fact that they gave it to him. There's a ma'aseh with Rav Baruch Ber Leibowitz, Rosh Yeshiva of Kamenetz. He was here in the early 1930s collecting money for his yeshiva. He was in Baltimore for a tkufa. He stayed over at the home of one of his old talmidim, whose name was Mr. Wolpert, a couple Wolpert. Anyway, Rabbi needed some medicine for his eyes. So he went to a doctor, and the doctor gave a prescription. And Mr. Wolpert goes with him to the drugstore, and he hands in the prescription to the pharmacist. The pharmacist fills it out, and he says, "Is this for that rabbi over there?" So he said, "Yeah." So he says, "There's no charge." Why is there no charge? He says, that rabbi is an angel. He says, how could I take money from an angel? Didn't speak to the rabbi. He had no masu matu with the rabbi. He saw the bar of a bear. He was able to see right away that this is an angel. He says, I don't take money from, I can't take money from an angel. It's by Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, they saw Avraham Avinu. They saw that this is a man of integrity. This is a man of yashrus. And as Rav Breuer Zatzal always used to say, that perhaps just as important as glock kosher is glock yosher. To be glock and straight in your ways. They saw here was a man of honesty, a man of integrity. Right away they gave. That's a shot from the Maskil David. About the Reyoyel, the Chassari Mekadosh Levracha says that the chayvus that we're talking about over here are of a different sort. We're not talking about over here chayvus of money. We're talking about chayvus that Avraham Avinu had to HaKadosh Baruch. What's the pshat? Wherever Avraham Avinu went, he stopped, he gathered people around him, he shmoozed with them, he did chesed with them, he was mekar of them, tachas kanfei hashchina. That was the normal mahalach of Avraham Avinu. But over here he was in a rush to get down to Mitzrayim. There was a hunger. He was starving. Sorry, man, he was starving. The people with him were starving. So they were in a rush to get down. So every place he stopped, he couldn't spend that regular time being Makarit people, Takas Kanfei Hashkinah. So he blived the Baal Chayv to HaKadosh Baruch. Also, on the way back, Parah HaKafayisav, he paid back the Chayv to HaKadosh Baruch. Now already he wasn't in a rush, stopped over in a place, was with Kara people, told them about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gave them food, make a bracha, praise Hashem, and that's the way he went from place to place. The chayvus to the Ota HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he paid back right now, as I talked about the Reyayo. The Pasuk says, Vayovei HaPolit, and the refugee came. This refugee was Eig Melech HaBashan. He came from that big world war of the four kings against the five kings. Vayagid Lavrom HaIvri. And he told Avram the Hebrew all about the war. V'hushoichin ve'elene mamre ho'emoyri achi eshkol achi anar v'hem bali bris Avram. What did he tell him? He told him, Kinishbo Loit Ochiv, that Loit, his nephew, was taken captive. So the Satmar Rebbe asks a question. This is the only place where we find that Avraham Avinu was called Avraham HaIvri. The word Ivri refers to Yidden. You find that in other places. But that Avraham Avinu should be called HaIvri, this is the only place that you find he's called Avraham HaIvri. What is it about this place, punct over here, that the Torah refers to him as Avraham HaIvri? There's got to be something that has to do with this Milchama over here, with this situation. Zakhtar Satmar Rebbe, the Torah is answering the question over here. What was Eig Melech HaBashan thinking? Eig Melech HaBashan, what did he want to do? He wanted to tell Avram, he told Avram, your nephew's taken captive. He wanted Avram to go out and fight in the war. He'd get killed, and this way Eig could take over Sarai, his wife. What exactly was he thinking? He's going to tell Avram that his nephew was taken captive, and then what? Avram Avinu's going to go fight? It's like somebody tells me, do you know that your cousin was put in jail in China? He is? I'm going out now and take those Chinese, I'm going to break their heads. I'm getting my cousin back. I have to be out of my mind. We're talking about over here a world war that's going on. Lake was taken captive. He is? What in the world was Lake Melech HaBashan thinking? That Avram's going to go fight to get his thing against the Dalai Malachan? How's that possible? Lamaisi, he was right. Lamaisi, you see that Avraham Avinu did go. What exactly was Oig thinking? The Torah is telling us over here, because Oig knew that this was Avraham HaIvri. Why was he called Avraham HaIvri? The Medrash says one chat, Avraham be'Eiver Echad, v'chol ha'olam kuloi be'Eiver Sheni. Avraham Avinu was on one side of the world, and the rest of the world was on the other side. Avraham Avinu was Makar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he spread the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of these Malachim, ideologically, they were totally to the opposite extreme. They were right there by the Zohar. They were immoral people. And the Shalom HaKadosh says that the whole purpose of this war was to get Avraham Avinu involved so they can get him killed. They wanted Avraham Avinu out of the way. Avraham Avinu stood for Ruchnius. They didn't want that. And Oig Melech HaBosha knew that if they incited Avram to take his nephew captive, that means they're starting up with the side of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avram Avinu would go fight with tremendous Mesiris Nefesh. Oig Melech HaBosha knew this, that Avram Avinu taka went. And that's why it also says in the Pasuk, Vayorek es Chanichov. He mobilized Chanichov. Who are Chanichov? His Talmidim that he was Mechanach. The person goes out to war, Talmidim Bedavke. One Dafke is Talmidim. So the Svar Mandashim say, because this wasn't stop a physical war, this was an ideological war. So Vayorek es Chanichov, he took those that he was Mechanach, and he went, and the Seif Dover was, he had HaKadosh Baruch Hu on his side, and he was Masliach. But this is why the Torah uses the word Avram HaIvri, because this is what made Oig Melech HaBosha think that Avram Avinu would go out and fight. Agav Baruch Hu was Takiv Shatna Avram Avinu. He went out to fight. Some people say it was only with Eliezer. Other people say it was with his Avodim that he was Mekhara 310 Avodim. But like, what was Avram Avinu thinking? So, it could be, possibly you could say, that we say the Klal of Ensonchen al Hanes is for regular people. But for people that lived in a realm of their own, and every step of the way they experienced Nisim, you don't have the Klal of Ensonchen al Hanes. That's L'chair of the simple pshat, and the safe double was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped Avram. I once heard it, Rishem the Chofetz Chaim, that when the Chofetz Chaim heard about what's going on in Russia, how the communists are mamish oppressing Yidden, and they're making them not learn and not do mitzvahs. So the Chofetz Chaim says, oi, oi, we made a big mistake. When the communists first came to power, we should have gone out with our sticks, and we should have fought against them. So he told this to one of the Rosh Yeshivas in Radin. He says, Rabbi Shlomo Meir, what are you talking about? You wouldn't have gotten anywhere near them. You would have gone out with sticks. They would have shot you with their cannons, with their guns. Like, what are you talking about? Ugh, what do you think? I meant that we're going to beat them with our sticks. Zichr not? Zichr, we wouldn't have made it. We wouldn't have been victorious. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would see that we're going out in the Mesiris Nefesh to fight against the enemy, that Mesiris Nefesh Gufu would have weakened them, and they wouldn't have a Koyach today on the Yidden the way they have. So it could be Avram Avinu. Maybe he didn't really know he was going to be victorious. But the very fact that he was going after Mesiris Nefesh, that would shvachen them up, and they wouldn't have the koyach to be mashpia on others l'ra the way they wanted to. One more small machshava. Acharei hadvorim ha'ela. After this ma'isa with the Mulchame, ha'yedvar Hashem al Avram b'machaz aleimor. The word of Hashem came to Avram in a vision, saying, "Al tira Avram, don't be afraid, Avram. Anochi magin lach. I will shield you. Schor chahar b'ma'id." Vayayimar Avram, Hashem Elohim mati teli. What are you going to give me? Vanochi haylech hariri. I go childless. Uben meshek beisi hu damesek Eliezer. The one that's in charge of my house is Damesek Eliezer, Eliezer of Damascus. Rashi teaches that Mesek Eliezer, Doyle Umashke Mitoiras Rabbi La'acherim. He draws the water of Torah from his master and he pours it out to others. So I saw a beautiful shot here from Rabbi Lozer Mipilz. He says, why is Rashi praising Eliezer over here? That he teaches the Torah of his Rebbe to others. Avraham Avinu was putting down Eliezer over here. Avraham Avinu was saying, I don't have anybody to succeed me. The only one I have over here is the Mesek Eliezer. And Rashi says, the Mesek Eliezer, Deyla Umashke Mitayla's Rabbi Lachel. Why does Rashi put in the praise over here when, if anything, Avraham Avinu was saying he's not fit to succeed me? So Eliezer Mipilt says, Amayu the Kipshat. Avraham Avinu knew that his children have to be able to be mechadish different drachim and avayim. Avraham Avinu was mechadish the path of chesed. He knew that his descendant has to be mechadish another way and another way. Eliezer wasn't capable of being mechadish. Eliezer is only capable of taking the very same Torah that I have and giving it over to others. But the koyach achidish, to be able to be mechadish numa halachim, that Eliezer doesn't have. So that's what Rashi says over here. Uben mesek veisi da mesek Eliezer. Eliezer is only capable of being doyle umashke mitayrus rabbi shalachayrim. But to be mechadish new pathways and avayim,
Avoda. And the same dover is that Klal Yisrael has Torah from Yaakov Avinu, Avoda from Yitzchak, Chesed from Avram Avinu, Al Shloshes Barim, Al Maimei, Al Torah, Al Avoda, Al Milas Chasadim. Each generation had to be Mechadish. But Eliezer was an Eved. He stammed from the Knani. He didn't have the Koyuk of Bracha. He was not able to be Mechadish. This is what Avram Avinu meant over here. Have a good Shabbos, everybody. Yeah.